Welcome to Dear Young Person. On today's episode, we'll be talking about parents. Overbearing or protective? Now, one of the things I advocate for ever since I moved out of my family house is that people should not move out. Because when you move out, you discover that things are expensive. The money that you spend to rent the house is minute compared to the money you spend to furnish the house. Because when you start buying pots and pans and fridge and mattresses and curtains, you would appreciate all the things that your parents used to do for you. But we also have like adults who work and live with their parents. What do you think about drawing the line? Like for someone who is working full-time or freelancing and living at home with his or her parents, what do you think about them drawing the line? So, I have with me a special guest named Posh Lagun.
Hi. Oh,
that's not his name. His name is not Posh Lagun. His name is Posh. Hi, Posh.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Are you excited to be here?
Yes, thanks for having me on the show today.
All right, so I'm going to be asking you a couple of questions to basically get like a general sense of what you think about working and also living with your parents. So first off, how old are you?
I'm in my early 20s.
Okay. Are you single and searching or single and not looking?
I'm single and waiting on God.
Okay. What do you do for a living?
Okay, so I'm a cinematographer, but I think I'm a multifaceted creative in the sense that if I need to do something, I would probably learn a way to do what exactly I need to do to get the job done. So I can also do photography, I can do a little bit of designing, but I'm mainly a cinematographer and a video editor.
Okay, so you're saying that in addition to your skills as a video editor and cinematographer, you are basically I have to get this done, so I'm going to learn it and get it done.
Yes.
That kind of person.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. How did you get into cinematography and video production and all of that?
Okay, so in my 100 level, right, I had this guy that was beside my room. He was a photographer. So he used to pull me along to help him assist him during shoots, hold lights and things like that. So he showed me a few things on the camera. But growing up in my family, my brothers and I are tech savvy. So we've been properly introduced to these things. So my friend showed me some things on the camera. And then when I got home after my 100 level, I needed money. I was just thinking of how to make money. So an idea popped into my head to make a video for the valedictory service for my secondary school. So I went to them, I pitched to them, I told them, oh, I can do this and do that and create a very nice video. And then, so I did a pitch basically. I recorded an event prior to time just to show them what I could do. And they were impressed with the quality. And so I think that's how my journey started basically.
100 level.
Yes.
When people were just concerned about going home to eat food in their parents' house, we were concerned about making money.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So moving on to the meat of this entire episode. Do you think that your parents consider you right now as an adult, seeing as you've been working since 100 level?
Well, yes, I think they do. But also, I think they still see me as a child at the same time. Because my parents are quite free, right? They don't really cage us in that sense, but there are just some things that they've been strict on since we were young kids, and they don't seem to be relaxed on them, or if at all, just a little bit in some particular situations. So I think they see me as an adult, but as a kid,
something like that. Okay. So how about for you? Do you see yourself as an adult? And I'm an adult now. I have to start doing adult stuff.
Yes, I do see myself as an adult. I think it hits when I discovered the value of money. And I discovered the value of money quite early. So I think either after my 100 level or my 200 level, I was concerned about having money. Having something. I used to save a lot in my 100 level. And then I was concerned about just having money. So I noticed what purchasing power is like. You have money and you know you have money, so if you want to do something with the money, you can do that with the money. And then I also noticed that in Nigeria, it wasn't easy to come across money. Like, making money was not so easy. And my dad used to be a banker, but then he left the banking industry a while. So it just kind of brought to me a reality that money doesn't just come like from nowhere. So like, I started thinking of ways to do things for myself, so I didn't need to ask for money all the time from him.
So you knew from a very early age that money stops nonsense?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. When have you ever had to work late? Like, maybe you're on set, you're trying to shoot at a location or something. Have you ever had to work late? And how did you tell your parents, like, oh, daddy, I may not be coming home. I have, like, so-and-so shoot. I'm at so-and-so location.
Okay, so I've had such experiences, quite a lot, actually. I remember one, I think this should be in my 300 level break. So there was a show, and my friends were the organizers. So they brought a guest artist to Ibadan, and I was supposed to make a video, right? But as usual, Nigerian artist, he came quite late.
Yeah.
And obviously, I still had to do what I wanted to do. Not only because I was doing it for my friends, but I also wanted to have the experience and have that on my catalog, right? So,
okay.
At the point, my dad was not at home, but my mom was at home and my eldest brother was around. So the shoot or the event ran quite late. And then my brother tried to call me. So I think my mom tried to call me. I think I spoke to her a bit that I was going to run late. And then my brother also tried to call me a few times. So I was trying to explain that, the artist came late and then I'll just be a little late, you get. But then at a point he called me and then my phone went dead. And at this point I was even on the street walking to the house. So like, I was already very close to home, but then my phone died. So when I got home, he started challenging me that why would he be talking to me, and then I'll end the call and switch off my phone. And then I was just trying to explain that, when you called me, my phone went dead. And then next thing he does is that he seizes my phone. And I'm like, even my dad does not seize my phone. Like, I was in university then. So I'm like, even my dad can't seize my phone. Right? And then I bought the phone with my money, with a little money for my dad. So I'm like, you didn't even add money. Like,
Your money's not even inside.
Like, I used most of my money to get this thing. And then, like, why would you do that? I felt so emasculated. I even cried that night because I'm like, why would you do this? Like, how would you seize my phone? Like, it was so, it hit me a lot. It was like, why would you actually seize my phone? Like, we're not kids anymore. How would you do this? So that's one of the experiences I had working late and coming back late.
Yeah. Okay. So at least with this one, it's not like they called you and they're like, and you're like, oh, I'm on set, I'm shooting for so and so. And they were like, what are you doing? Better come back home now. Come back home now. As I'm saying it, pack your things and leave that place. Because there are places that can be like that. But have you actually had any situation like that where they called you, you were on set, and they were like, you're not staying outside this late. Carry your things and start coming back home.
Well, yeah, I've had that kind of experience quite recently. So I was out, obviously, on set working, and because of there was rain fell, so we had to start the shoot later than we planned, right? And so when we were about to start, it was already quite late, and so my dad called and he said, oh, it's quite late that I should start coming. And I was trying to explain that it's not our fault.
Yeah.
Like, rain actually fell and we didn't anticipate rain falling.
Yeah.
Right. But then because I live with him, there's not much I could actually do. And I also make use of the cars he has at home. So he just told me to come then, and I didn't have much of a choice to, stand up. I feel like if I said, oh no, I'm not coming, it could lead to something bigger.
It's not even about locking you out of the house.
I have my own key, so he can't lock me outside. But then I feel like it would lead to, he would take it as disrespect or something like that, and it would lead to something way bigger. So I just had to leave and let someone else do the work.
And like the older adults' advice, like 30 plus and all, they always like, as far as you're still under your parents' roof, you cannot be forming, I want to rebel. Because last, you will still come back. They are still the ones that will feed you, and they are still the ones that will shelter you and things like that. But like, how did that make you feel Did you feel like as you're entering house like this, if I see my father, I would just give him one kind punch like this to convey my anger?
To be honest, I was quite upset, but then I was also calm. But I was quite upset in my spirit because I feel like at this point, my parents know that I'm quite good at this thing because I'm going out today, I have a shoot, or tomorrow I have a shoot, I'm in my room editing, and I feel like by this point, my parents should have noticed that, okay, this thing I'm doing is actually I'm quite good at it.
Okay.
For me to be in such positions, like different times, or I would need to tell them, someone needs me to do this, and I need to go out at this time. I feel like they should have realized that I actually know what I'm doing in this space, right? And sometimes they need to give me a little allowance because, I mean, I'm no longer a kid, right? And I know the country is not generally safe.
Yeah.
And I also, obviously, as a person, I'm not going out to parties. So I'm not putting myself in a space where I can be in harm. I'm actually working. Yeah. If I'm not working directly for money, I'm working for referrals or to impress so that I can get more jobs. At this point in my life, my parents don't sponsor me 100%, right? Okay. Apart from housing and feeding me, and a little sometimes, once in a blue moon, my dad gives me a little money. I'm pretty much on my own. So I feel like you should realize that I need to do these things. And I feel my dad is an entrepreneur now. So I feel like you should understand that you need to put things in place. You can't just stay at home all the time and expect things to work out for you. There are sometimes you need to put in sacrifices for the greater good. So it made me feel very upset inside because I was working. I was actually doing something I loved. And I was doing it because someone knew that I was good at this thing and said, oh, please come and help me out with this. So it made me feel quite bad. But then I was calm. I didn't understand it. Like, why am I calm? I'm supposed to be angry. But like, I wasn't happy, but I wasn't flaring up at the same time.
Yeah.
But it made me feel pretty bad. I won't lie.
Okay. All right. But you said that you're not sure, or you think that your parents don't rate you. Have you shared your works with them?
No.
Do you think that's something that, if you do, would give them a sense of, you know, what goes into what you're doing? Like projects that you're working on now, as you add them to your catalog, you're like, daddy, mommy, do you have like 30 minutes or 1 hour? Let me take you through what I do so that you can understand, so that we can stop clashing, you know, and things like that. Do you think if you do this, it would maybe help them appreciate what you're doing and be more willing to say, okay, he's doing this thing that looks good like this, let him?
Well, I think that would actually help. But growing up in my family, in my house, right, we were not the closest. And the way my dad brought us up was kind of a disciplinarian kind of way. So
tell me about
it. You don't have a choice to say, oh, daddy, can you just listen? Like, this is what...
this is not a democracy. It's not a military regime.
Even if you take the bold step and do, 99.9% of the time, what he says is what will still stand, regardless of how good your point is or...
Now we get us, get money, get
exactly.
power.
So, growing up, I have just come to terms with the fact that there's almost no point showing them these things or doing that. Let me just continue doing what I'm doing. Very soon enough, I'll be able to move out and be on my own. But I think if I actually had the courage or had the sit-down to do that, I think that it would actually help things. I think my mom doesn't really know things, but she knows that, okay, we do entrepreneurial things, and then because we have to be going out, she actually realizes that because they are going out this much, they're actually probably doing something good or something worthwhile and profitable, right? But then my dad, I don't know how he sees things, but he still has that authoritarian kind of rule.
But do you think that it could be tied to, you know how when we're growing up, our parents would be like, the only professions that you can choose from, medicine, law, engineering. But now that there's like a lot of work to do in media and tech, and it's not things that they are very familiar with, do you think that maybe that has, or like that's part of what is making them not want you to be out late? Because they are thinking, I don't really understand what this person is doing. Do you get? And I think that is because for me, my dad would call me, and I think I worked in a place for about 2 years plus. And then it was after 2 years that he called me and was like, where you are working, what do they do? Like every time I say I'm working so and so and so, he doesn't understand what, it's like, marketing. What's that? What do you people do? So now even say it's a startup, because like once he hears, oh, you got a new job, he's thinking, how sustainable is it? Is the company a known company? Are they going to last? Because he's not really thinking about the fact that people can freelance and can switch and things like that. So do you think maybe there's that cultural bias or
bias? I think there is, especially with my dad. I think that he has not come to terms with the fact that I might not want to use the profession that I studied in school to sustain myself. Because recently, not so recently, but after my graduation, we had some series of conversations. And, you know, anytime I mention media, he just kind of put it off, not glaringly, but
like, he kind of shot it aside.
And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, guy, do you know what I've done? I'm getting some good profits, right?
Yeah.
So he just shoves it aside a bit, not glaringly, but he kind of shoves it aside. And I think that's a thing with him. I think he still thinks
he's still
that
set in his ways.
He's still set in his mind that I'm going to go in a particular line or direction of work because that's what I studied in school. But one thing that happened with me is that while I was in school, I actually discovered myself in school. A lot of people go through school and then it's at the point of graduation or maybe in their service year, they actually discover that they are good at this, or maybe they don't really want to do what they studied. But for me, during school, I realized that I was good at this media thing. Like, it didn't take too much effort for me to do something nice and creative. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that I actually like this creative work. At a point, I think I made up my mind that, you know what I'm studying, I'm not actually going to use it. I already found myself. And I feel like at this point, I'm still not 100% sure if I'm going to use what I studied in school or not. But I know to a large extent that media is very profitable for me and it's something I'm very good at. But for my dad, I think he still has his mindset on
when you finish all this, you're playing when around, exactly, when you come back.
After your service here, then you focus and you come and think about your master's. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm not even ready for graduate school. Like, give me space. Like, let me chill. Do you get?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a big thing with him. I've noticed it in conversations, when we have conversations, that he's just thinking about, so what do you want to do with this time? What are you going to do? And anytime I just mention anything relatively about media, he just shoves it aside in some kind of way.
I think that's something that's quite common with parents. And that would be when you're still living with them. Because I know, me for instance, because service year was the year I got into marketing. And by the time I finished, I already had a job. So there was no way I was going back home. So I think, and then the fact that I've successfully stayed out of my father's house for 4 years plus now. So now he's like, okay, this one, let me not choke head in this one. Well, my younger sister, she's a software engineer and she's still at home. So it's like my father is trying to find jobs for her that he thinks. Like when I studied physiology, and before I went for service, my father already had plans that I would redeploy to Abuja and come and work in his friend's hospital. But by the time I finished school, I already knew that I was not going to practice. What is all this? So since I already knew, I was actively looking for ways to get out, just not serve in Abuja at all. Let me go and find where I would chuck head. And that's what helped me.
I think one of the issues we also have is that we young people, like these days, we freelancers and people that are more into jobs that come up in this new age.
Conventional
jobs. We don't actually let our parents know how much we make. And that's a big deal, because if you let your parents know how much you make,
black tax,
you could be totally completely cut off from them. And then because they don't know what you make, they underestimate you and think that you're not doing something profitable. Yeah. And then they want you to go to do something profitable in quotes. But you don't know, I'm probably making more than an engineer.
I mean,
with freelancing and entrepreneurship, there's not a steady flow of income, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes you have something big, sometimes you have something small, sometimes things are on the low, sometimes things are on the high.
Yeah.
But I feel like if they knew how much we make or how profitable these things are, they'll probably be a little bit lax. But
we don't want to let them have that information because it can stop a lot of privileges.
It's very tricky.
Exactly. So I think that's one of the things that also causes these things.
Yeah, true. That's very valid. Because I remember the first time I sent my father money, because even with the like 3+ years I've been working, I've always been saying I want to save to be having at least like 50K, 100K to be sending home. But then I was not like, why wait till I can do something so grand? Why can't I just start from there? And the first time I sent him money, he called me. That was like, you sent me money. I did not know how to receive it because in my head I was thinking, oh, I'm trying to appreciate my father for like all the years that he had. Because for the first 2 years that I lived on my own, he paid my house rent. I did not have money for house rent. Wow. So I was just trying to like appreciate and all. Every time I send him money, he either calls or he texts me. And it's always like, thank you so much. And it's not like it's plenty money. One time I called my sister and I told her to send me money, my younger sister. He was there. He was like, Donga, if you need money, you let me know. And I was just like, hey, God, which kind of problem with this? Because it's wine. I was whining my sister to start with. So I think that maybe if we do things like sending money or like trying to help out with like bills in the like at home, it will make them feel like, okay, this person can stand on their own to an extent and the like they'll be more relaxed.
That's very true.
They'll be more relaxed. Okay, you've told us about, or we've basically talked about how our parents treat us and things like that. But if you were a parent, how do you think you would handle this kind of situation?
So I think that a large percentage of the problems we have with our parents adapting to these things is because of the way the age they grew up in has changed drastically to the age that we have grown up in.
Okay.
Right. So I think as a parent grown up in this age, I know how, I have an experience of how things go, how things literally just pop up, and if you don't grab an opportunity at the time, it can be gone. And when you utilize an opportunity very fast, it can lead to greater things.
Yeah.
I think the way I would handle this is, I know obviously definitely there will be fears, but growing up in this age, I have more of an understanding on how things can go well and things can drastically change for the better for someone. So I think I would try to support my kids as much as I can. I think I would try to make them feel very comfortable with me first off. Then when things come up for them, they will be able to tell me, oh, daddy, this was happening. Do you think I should go for it? Because
like you'll be their friend.
Yes,
like
I would be their friend. Where I am right now, when things come up, I never actually discuss it with my parents because they won't understand exactly what positive inputs would they give. If I discuss with my mom, she probably pray. Sometimes she's on the extreme end. Sometimes she's on the extreme end. She's like, ah, who is the person, who is the company you're working with? Hope they will not drag you into, hope he's not criminal. You know, those kinds of things. And I'm like, yo, this is a registered company. Like, there's very less of a possibility that kind of thing can happen. Yeah. I'm not saying it cannot happen, but like, it's on the lesser end that it's likely to happen. So I think if I am close with my children and they can talk to me, and I can understand what it is that they are going for, I can actively support them. So if one of my children has to do a lease job, I probably put a driver with him. Okay, let this person bring you home when you're done.
Okay.
Or are you going to be sleeping over with a friend or something like that? Because we growing up now in my family, we never had sleepovers. I have never slept in anybody's house till now.
Ah.
Till now, I have never slept in a... Okay, I've slept, but like, obviously my friends didn't know.
Yeah.
So like, according to them, you know, these kinds of things have not happened. And then, so it's very limiting if I have a job and I say, oh, I'm going to be sleeping over somewhere else, right? It's going to be very hard to put that out to them. So I think if I can be close enough to my children and have them comfortable with me to discuss what it is that they want, what it is that they want to do, and I can support them in any way I can, I think things will be easier and I would have more peace of mind, because when they've told me where they are going or what they are going to do, I actually know what they are going to do.
Yeah.
And I can monitor them in some way because they are close to me. They can update me on how things are going.
Yeah.
But where I am right now, even if I'm out on a shoot, I don't randomly call my parents and say, oh, this was happening. Because the next thing they'll do is, it's already late now, start coming now. So there's that problem because we are not very close. So I think being close and interactive with my children would be a huge help in solving that.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. Because if your kids can see you as a friend, you know, just the same way they are texting their friends and sending them like their locations, they'll be doing that to their parents, like, oh, daddy, I'm so and so and so and so. And so pleased. But I think that ultimately the goal for everybody is to leave their parents' houses, even if it's to go and suffer, suffer for a while, but establish yourself so that, like, when you're coming home, they're not seeing that child that's coming home, they're seeing that adult, you know, that's come home. This has been a very interesting session, you know, and I'm sure that the people listening would attest to that as well. So thank you, Posh, for gracing us with your presence and your stories. And your stories. Do you have any final words to say to listeners?
Well, something I tell almost everybody I know, or people that are younger than me and I'm friends with, is consistency is key in a lot of things. Once you can be consistent with something, you get better at it. And when you get better at it, it becomes easier for you. And something a friend of mine said or posts regularly is income or money chases mastery.
Yeah.
So when you become a master at something, money will chase you. Yeah. Everybody needs money. You cannot say, oh, don't be materialistic. We need money to survive.
Yeah.
So once you can be consistent at learning something and know that, okay, I'm good at this thing now,
You can monetize.
And when you begin to monetize, it's going to be way easier because people see that, okay, this person is actually good at this thing. Yeah. So they would pay for your services. Yeah, I think that's that. And don't give up. Just keep on going.
Because one day you will leave your parents' house. One day you leave and
you're going to need to know what you're going to do when you leave. So because you don't want to leave and come back. I don't think that's something anyone wants to do.
So that's it for today. Thanks, Posh. Thanks to everyone who would listen, who has listened, who will be listening. Until next time, I'm NT, and this is Dear Young Person. NT out.